on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Once again, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and good night. It's, where is it, April the 21st, 2013, and today I started a new show with a very special guest, well, a very special co-host, not a guest, Katie Galanti, and we kind of haven't stopped, really, so... we're kind of, it's like a spillover thing, so if you're listening to this archive, then you need to go to the archives of the same day on the show called Out of the Box. Yeah, we didn't say very much about the show. Anyway, we'll cover that in a little while. So we were getting to the point of the soul, God, putting us on like an overcoat, right?
Yeah, it's, okay, the physical body, if you were to draw a diagram, physical body is in the middle, right? Then around that, there's the emotional body, then there's the lower mental body, and then there's the higher mental that is connected to universal mind. And then after that, there are various soul bodies, of which the etheric body is one, right? The etheric body is actually what is connected to the meridians and the chakras, okay? And then the light body is the most external of the soul bodies. Then if you go further on, you get to the monad and monadic bodies, right? Oversoul or whatever. And then if you go even further, then you get to the... cosmic consciousness, divine consciousness, etc., right? Each time, it's almost like frequency bands, and each frequency band has a body that is associated to it, but it's not frequency bands of electromagnetic energy. It's, I don't know what this energy, what you would call it, but it's different levels of it, and we are actually built with the physical body is the most solid of all of these, and it's and even that is debatable, right? But it's like a Russian dolls thing, like all of these are contained within the other. So the soul bodies actually contain the physical body, and inside of the physical body there is soul consciousness. And in fact, if you go and have a look at where the soul consciousness anchors into the physical body, it's in the seed of the heart chakra, right? And so it's kind of difficult sometimes to explain this, because it's like overlapping dimensional realities, and but at the same time they all coexist at the same time, and they're always there. We all have a soul body. It's just, it may not be activated enough for you to connect with it, right? So if we go back to the boomerang zone and the cleansing process, when this energy comes in, it triggers a cleansing and release process. And through that cleansing and release process, we get rid of junk that is in the way for our vibration to go higher. Once the vibration goes higher, the higher vibrational bodies start to activate, and so on and so on. When you start to activate when you're just activating your let's call them earth plane bodies, right? Like physical, incarnational stuff, like the physical, the emotional, the mental, and so on. You'll be clearing childhood stuff. You will be clearing your childhood stuff. So that is why very often people, when they start to awaken, the first thing that they will do, they go to AA, or they start working on their stuff through a therapist or whatever, or they have memories of abuse that start coming up or whatever. If you go further, then you start to work with your past life stuff. Why? Not because it's fancy and fashionable, you know, and trendy, but it's because the reason for which a lot of people work with their past lives now is because their soul bodies are beginning to activate, right? And to anchor fully, they have to clear up all of this soul-based stuff, the stuff that is not just about this incarnation, but about the history of the soul as a whole. So that is what is required to continue to activate. You have to continue to clear up your stuff and to clear up your history. Not everybody on the planet is as exactly the same starting point. So you will have some people for which this influx of activating energy from the galaxy will bump them to the next level in terms of clearing up some of their immediate stuff. And then there's the older souls that are using this energy to clear up their whole karmic tract and to go even further in their evolution. So everybody here is bumping up a level, but they're not necessarily all bumping up the same stuff, okay? And this is why sometimes you will hear that there was a long line for people to actually be here, of crazy people that wanted to be here at this time in life, you know. And part of that is I just had something really weird happen.
What happened?
There's a chime that I have inside my house that all of a sudden started rattling against my window. But the window is closed, so there's no wind. So I don't know. That was interesting. And I said that as, you know, people that wanted to be here. Maybe there was somebody that wanted to be here.
Mm-hmm. Welcome. anyway. Welcome to the other dimensions who are listening in. Indeed, possibly other planets. You know, the audience has definitely increased in the last couple of hours. So we're drawing them in. The morphological field is building. You know, this is a really, really interesting point because, you know, we've been talking for years about the ascension and what it is, and the process. And, you know, I've got this teaching that comes from Tibet and, you know, those are the ancient ones that you were talking about before, you know, the Atlantean time Tibetans, stuff. There is a white lodge and a dark lodge there. And they recognize them as, you know, as the same people as the native Turtle Islanders. So, you know, it's like everybody came from the same place, you know, the Lemurian and Atlantean and all this stuff.
Yeah, and I think, carry on with that thought.
So, where was I?
You were saying about the ascension.
Oh yes, the ascension. And so, okay, so there's this thing, and there's all these little invocations, and very much talking about what you've been talking about just now, about the different bodies and how they relate to the physical body and the you know, your life in general and all this stuff.
And actually, in many ways, it's actually really simple. It's like, energy bodies, chakras and energy points connected to them, various dimensions. Each energy body corresponds to a dimension. We right now are in a dimension that is kind of on the low side, and so only certain pieces are activated, but we are shifting. It's like we're making a jump energetically, and as we do that, more energy bodies activate, but they're full of junk. So we need to clear them out before we can actually experience them. And that's pretty much sums up the ascension process as far as I'm concerned. A lot of the ascension process, as far as getting there, is about clearing out your stuff. Right? Working with your stuff, clearing out your stuff in various ways. Right? And then as far as what it's going to be when you actually get to that, I don't have this kind of otherworldly view of all of this. I think that what happens as a result is that your life flows better, your consciousness is higher, you become a love-based being rather than a power-based being. Your motivation is informed by service rather than self-service, and you also become more collective in consciousness, in the sense that you don't see yourself as separate, you see yourself as part of, okay?
Yes.
Like a part of a larger whole.
Yeah, a group being.
Yeah, group being.
Because I think what I'd like to take people talk about past lives, right? And you're looking from the standpoint of the living, standing human personality.
Yep.
But what we really need to realize is that our soul is having lives. And where the soul is, it doesn't have time. And so it's experiencing all of these lives all at the same time. So what is past and what was past and what is future and what was future and what will be future and all of these things are all happening at the same time in the same place, which is that area called the soul.
Yes, and that is part of why when you activate the soul bodies and you bring the consciousness of the soul into this dimensional reality, right? It is part of why you suddenly start dealing with past life issues, because those issues are part of what the soul is experiencing at that time. All of it, okay? But I used to draw a diagram of this. It's like a wheel. If you're on the edge of the wheel, okay, the wheel has various spokes, right? Spokes of the wheel, the center of the wheel, the spokes. If you're at the edge of the wheel, you experience the spokes as before you or after you. Like, so what is the past? In other words, future. But if you're at the center of the wheel, you see all of the spokes at the same time. So being in soul consciousness is like, I'm at the center of the wheel. And being in present time consciousness, earth consciousness, you're on one spoke of the wheel at the edge, looking out. Right? And we can go backwards and forwards between those two perspectives, right? So if you're very much in your earth way of thinking and earth experience and earth reality, you'll experience past, present, and future. But if you're in the soul, you experience everything simultaneously. Okay?
That's good. So... So, yeah. So, what's the wheel connected to? So, anyway, sorry. this is part of our remit. You know, we called the show Out of the Box.
Yeah.
We've been playing around with it. You know, I came up with a few more strap lines, like out of the box and into the dodecahedron, which is not very snappy, I have to say.
Yeah, but out of the body and into the soul.
Yeah.
Right? For some reason today we're talking about really serious stuff, right?
Because yeah, but this is really important stuff, and it's immediate, because this is what's happening right now to lots of people, and it will continue to happen, because...
it's what we're all doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what we're all here for. And also... as you know, I'm writing about this stuff. I'm trying to put all of this kind of stuff in. I have a series of books that I'm wanting to write and never find the time or the energy or whatever it is. There always seems to be something else that needs to happen first, right? But I've been working on trying to write some of this stuff down. And one of the reasons is because I think that my experience is that although I don't think this stuff is very complicated, I think there's a lot of confusion out there about who we are, our multidimensionality, how that works. You know, there's a lot of almost like pink fantasy type stuff out there, and it's very chaotic and kind of confusing. But actually, you know, you can sum up the process that we're going through in a couple of paragraphs. Do you know what I mean? Once you understand the multidimensional nature of reality and our own structure as multidimensional beings, where literally we have different parts of ourselves that exist on different frequency bands, then once you start understanding that, then it becomes quite clear why the energy would do to us what it is that we're doing when we're immersed in a highly activating field. And basically, the process that we're going through metaphysically, esoterically, here on planet Earth right now, is all about this. We are in a time, you know, in this particular reality that we call our universe, right, physical universe, we're going through a time in which some kind of gate has opened, and there's a transmission of energy that is coming through that is extremely activating. In terms of, like, the galactic weather is has consciousness in it, and it's extremely activating right now. And so it's like a curve, and we're almost at the peak of this curve, and we're being triggered and activated by all this stuff, and then at some point we will integrate it all, and we will be wherever it is that we have. I'm going to use a word that some people are not going to like, but I'm going to use it anyway, then I'll explain it, okay? But we will land wherever it is that we have graduated to, okay? Like, whatever you have shifted, that is where you'll land. There is an aspect of this that has free will in it. It's like you're in the cosmic soup, you're being bombarded with activating energies. If you're really pig-headed, you can still not evolve, okay? Or if you're being heavily manipulated, you may still not evolve, right? But that's the violation of free will that is happening on the planet Earth, is that there's a force on this planet that doesn't want people to evolve and is doing everything that it can, and just that. And the reason for which it's doing that, it's not because they want to be a party pooper, it's because if we evolve, they have to go. Because they cannot coexist with the next level up. They can't coexist with that because their vibration is too dense, okay? So the reason for which they are doing all of this is to keep things into a frequency band that they can still inhabit, which requires for everybody to stay kind of on the low side, right? There's a violation of free will of this process that is happening through this particular consciousness that likes to stay on this planet. And by the way, it's not just about this planet. It seems this consciousness does this wherever it lands, and so on. But there's a personal side of this as well, and the personal side is, regardless of what this consciousness is doing, and especially if you have become aware of all of the things that are being done to keep you stuck, once you've unhooked from that and it becomes just about you and your own process and your own journey, then it is your part of it is a free will thing about engaging your will so that you can work through your stuff and which requires to give up denial, right? And so that you can go to the next level. And if you do your homework, you will graduate to wherever it is that you intended to be. And if you don't, it doesn't matter, you'll do it again another time. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not some heavy, it's not that if you don't manage, like some big stick comes along and hits you on the head. It's like, next round, you will do it better. That's all, right?
And the rounds are getting shorter and shorter. I mean, at the moment, it feels like I'm living several lifetimes in 3 days, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I would agree. And in fact, a friend of mine made a comment the other day, going back to the Boston thing for a second, that it was almost as if there was a micro war that started and completed within a few days. Do you know what I mean? Like, even that process is accelerating. So you had like it, between 9/11 and when they got whoever they pinned this on, it took several years. And we know it was all a lie, but it doesn't matter. It still took several years for that process to go through, and the collective lived that process as if it was real, a lot of them, right? And now the same thing is happening within a week. You know what I mean? Pin the bad guy, do the whole thing, and so on. Like, it's all accelerating. Okay, even that side of things is accelerating. Also, I wanted to say something, and this is just an observation of my own. And I have moments in which, just in my own personal life, I really do feel that the vibration has shifted for me. And in those moments, there are even aspects of the story, the duality story that's being played out on the planet, that don't seem that relevant either. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like if you go really high in consciousness, at a certain point you can be totally happy on this planet no matter what everybody else is doing. Do you know what I mean? It's like you almost go into another zone where everything is smooth and happy and great, even if there are all of these discordant energies going on at the same time. It's as if you move into a different energy zone, right, and so on. And I think that, however, for example, I could stop doing this kind of work and just enjoy my nice energy state, right? But I think that there's work to be done to shift this particular level, and so it's important for us to almost be involved in it just to continue to shift it, right? But I'm also aware of the fact that you can step out of it quite easily. Right, and then it's a fine balance. But you can step out of this reality quite easily at the moment. Is that making any sense whatsoever? What I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is that, let me try and rephrase this: is that your ability to tune in and out of any particular frequency dimension has kind of expanded, so that you can experience the world here. And also, at the same time, experience a higher dimensional view of the same picture.
Absolutely. So it's like it's Earth. It's still Earth. Mm-hmm. But it feels much better. Mm-hmm. It's like smooth and happy, and everybody smiles at you. Do you know what I mean? It's like some people would call that being in the flow, right? But it actually has a very different energy to it, right? And I've heard people sometimes say, you know, that there's more than one Earth and all the rest of it. Now, my own experiences are not such that I can, like, sign on the dotted line for that, but what I can say is that this Earth feels very different depending on where you're sitting in consciousness, right? And so there are some times in which you can sit in this world and be a particular state of consciousness and it feels really good. And the first time that I had this experience, which is not super easy to put into words because it's really subtle, like it's not like just having a good day. It literally feels different. It feels like the colors look different. Everything kind of feels different. And it was, sorry, my cough. It was when I was doing the light body and I finished it and I got to the soul chakras or whatever of that. And I remember going outside and I could feel the consciousness of this tree. There was the tree was just swaying backwards and forwards in the wind, and I could really feel this thing as if it was a completely linked up telepathic connection with this tree. And it was wordless. Tree doesn't speak English, right? But it was as if I had gone into a different zone, and in this different zone, I could feel the tree, I could talk to the tree, do you know what I mean?
In this place, the trees talk back.
That's right. They do. They don't talk back with words, but energetically they are, and in fact, in some ways, maybe the trees are already there, and we're behind. because it felt to me like I was coming online to the tree rather than the other way around, right?
Like just like in Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, really? I haven't seen that movie. Yeah. So interesting. And you know, obviously, stress will take you out of that space very, very fast, right? Like something happens and you'll get all stressed out. You'll get out of that space very fast. But it's an interesting shift, and it used to happen very rarely, and now I can have some whole days in that space, and sometimes it can make you kind of lazy because it's like what is there to do, where is there to go? Do you know what I mean?
Mm. There's no needs, no wants or no needs. Can I ask some more questions? We've got loads. Sure. They're all building up, and so one of the first. Okay, so let's ask Miranda's question, and then I'll ask Nikki's question. So okay. The question that Miranda is asking is toning. What toning you recommend, and can you just explain? Well, I mean, what's toning about for you in your process, and how does it relate to soul infusion? As if I didn't know.
Okay. I don't have 100% the answer to that question, so I'll just answer it with the knowledge that I have, okay? Because I think that there's more to toning than meets the eye. But my experience with toning, the one that I have used for myself, is mostly through the Awakening the Light Body course that has its own sets of tones are designed to awaken the soul bodies. And even if that they don't tell you that that is what they're doing, but I figured it out after a while that that's what's happening. So it basically it's helping you to clear out stuff so you bring the soul bodies into view, okay? And every sound that we make is a vibration. Right? So let's say that you want to activate a soul body. The soul body will have a sound. And the sound of that will be different from the sound that activates your physical body. So if you think about it that way, if you make a set of sounds that will literally tune you to, make you go into resonance with a certain dimension, it will, I don't know how to explain it, but it will like click it in, right? Okay. So, and sound, we've said it before, that sound clears energy, right? If you bang something, it clears the energy. If you ring bells, it clears the energy. That's probably why the Hare Krishna do all the bells thing all the time, right? If you bang a gong, it clears the energy. Now, when you're toning, you are making your own sounds, and you're clearing your own energy with those sounds. You're also emitting a frequency that's going to make you go into resonance with a similar frequency. So it matters what sounds you're making, all right? So not just random sounds, but it actually matters what they are. Tibetans, they have their sounds. Light body training has its own sounds, right? They're not that different. But then you go with whatever method you want, okay? So it has a clearing function, it has an activating function, but also toning slows your breath down, makes you breathe in a really purposeful way. And as we know from Slav Grof's holotropic breathwork stuff, if you breathe in a certain way, if you use your breath in a certain way, it creates altered states of consciousness. So toning will also throw you into altered states of consciousness, which is another way of saying it will make you jump dimensions. Okay? So also, sound is basically frequency made physical. Like it's energy made physical. You're translating an energy, your breath, and you're translating that into something that can be heard. So it's almost like you're getting a frequency and you're making it physical. And as you do that, every cell in your body is experiencing that frequency. So it's basically, I'm just thinking about it now, it's almost like a way to put yourself into a frequency bath, right? to creating a vibration inside of your own body. So my very first experience with toning, like the really, really first one, was in the week in which I had my awakening, which was in 1995. And I call it awakening because it really was that way. I was completely switched off to everything. And then I had this weird experience where I was painting my ceiling in my kitchen. And I was listening to a tape that somebody sent me that was called The Multiple Levels of Reality. And it was by this English teacher called Jill Edwards, which I didn't know at the time because it was a tape that didn't have a label on it. And this woman...
She was an English teacher, or she taught English, or she was a teacher who was English.
She was a teacher who was English.
Right, right, okay.
And so she was a shamanic, she had also done the light body. I didn't know that at the time, obviously, because I didn't know what the light body was. But obviously a teacher from my seed pod. And I listened to this tape while I was painting the ceiling, and all of a sudden, I went through the ceiling, I left my body, went through the ceiling, and I found myself in the middle of the universe, looking at black holes and all sorts of stuff. I could feel everything, and then I kind of merged with the universal mind. I could feel like I was one with everything, right? Like real mystical experience. And then I came back into the body, and the next day I started my experience of other realities, because I started to connect with my first set of guides, whatever it is that I thought was my set of guides at the time, that gave me a lot of guidance for my own personal healing. And then I bumped into this woman that was channeling some Pleiadian being that started talking to me as if they knew everything about me, which was kind of spooky.
I hate that. It's like having fans who don't know.
It's like, how come you know everything about me? This is not good. Right? I actually, when the being started channeling through this woman, I was so scared. I started looking, because she was on the phone with me. She wasn't even there, right? And she was describing my room. It was like really uncomfortable. I was only 27 years old at the time. And I kept on looking around going, oh my God, where are they? Where are these? It felt like a group. It felt like it was like a group of people, not just one person. And I felt like there was a hidden camera somewhere or something. So anyway, so I had all of those various experiences. And during that same week in which all of this bizarre stuff was happening, I ended up going to what was supposed to be a talk on prosperity. And so I went to listen to the talk, and the woman said, I'm sorry, talk on prosperity has been cancelled because the guy had to go away suddenly.
He couldn't afford it. Sorry.
Yeah, part of that too, but everybody got the email. You guys obviously didn't get the email that it was cancelled. There was only 8 of us there. So let's do some toning. So, and this was like 3 days after my go through the crown out into the universe thing, literally having my mind blown. And so we started toning, and we just did the Om thing only, and all 8 of us. And within a few minutes of doing that, and I had never done anything like it before, but within a few minutes of doing that, I actually started seeing in fluorescent green inside of my head the picture of the Da Vinci Man, you know, the one that is all opened and everything.
Uh-huh, the Vitruvian Man.
Yeah, with all of the chakras, and like it was like a, you know, there was everything going on with this thing. And I had never had experiences like that before, right, unless they're chemically enhanced by something else.
When listening to stuff like this.
I did have a phase of that. In fact, I was kind of in the middle of it. Anyway, it was really interesting. And so, yes, so that was part of the toning thing, right? So Toning, it shifts your consciousness. If you do it, it's actually quite a fast way of doing it. If you really want to do it in a structured way, so you get real benefit from it, I would recommend that you do the Awakening the Light Body course. I've recommended it to a lot of people, but some people it sticks, they really understand what it's about. Some people don't like it. It's like, it's not for everybody. But if it's your thing, you can get a lot of mileage out of it, right? And, you know, there's so many different techniques out there to doing the same thing. I can only share about the ones that I know, so I share about this one, right? But it doesn't mean that there's not other ones out there that are good. It's just I don't know about them, so I can't recommend them, okay? So I'm sure that if you did the Tibetan route, you would get some stuff out of that. Just as, I think, you know, similar tracks, you know, different ways.
Really? Okay, so a few people have been talking in the chat room that they hear frequencies in their head. Now, I hear frequencies in my head, right? Mm-hmm. It may be that, you know, in my years as being a rock guitar player, I, you know, karanged a bit too much, and that was the last time I ever heard 9.3 kilohertz, you know, for instance.
Okay.
It's like, that's what happens, basically. You know, when you lose a frequency in your physical ears, you just hear that tone forever in your inner ear, because it's just like, a short circuit, you know.
It's true.
But the thing is, there are some tones that I hear, not on one ear or another, but bang in the middle.
Right.
I hear lots of tones, and some are stronger than others.
Yeah, well, that's a form of clairaudience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's interesting that you say that you hear it in the middle, because all of the clair skills are pineal gland skills. Pineal gland is in the middle of the third eye chakra. Third eye chakra is in the middle of the head. It's not on the forehead. What's on the forehead is the opening of the cone of the third eye chakra. So they call it the third eye because the cone opens onto the forehead and you can feel it there. But the actual chakra that powers the forehead is right in the middle of the head. That is where the pineal sits. And if you notice, every chakra has a gland associated to it, right? So the throat chakra has the thyroid, right? And the there's various glands in the head that are associated with the whole grid of energies that goes on in the head. And the crown chakra and the sixth chakra, right? There's the third eye chakra. And then if you go further down, you know, you will see that there's glands that are associated with all of these. So there's like a physical component to each chakra. Mm-hmm. And the pineal, once it's activated, which is activated when the chakra that's in the middle activates, will bring more into focus whatever your clair skills are. Clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, all of that kind of stuff. And not everybody has all of those skills. Some people are more clairaudient, some people are more clairvoyant, and whatever. But if audio is your thing, right, if you're wired for audio, then you will hear stuff instead of seeing it. So I look out and I see frequencies, you look out and you hear them, okay? But it's a sign that you're... third eye is on. Okay?
Right, okay. So the chat room's going mad here, right? I'm just going to have to deal with it. Okay.
I don't look at the chat room because I get really distracted if I have to...
That's right. No, that's right. Leave it to me. I'll deal with these people here.
Okay.
No, they're lovely. Here's the thing. Hulk is asking, JP, what about a sudden high... Oh, yeah. No. Sorry. I've got to go back. Have I? Yeah, we're covering the... No, let's just deal with that. Nikki, I'll get to it, all right? What can you do? Your girlfriend's put a question in, you know, it's like, oh, you got to have this answered. Anyway, but we'll do this in a while. Let's take it gradually. So, Hulk was asking, what about a sudden high-pitched tone in your ear, in one ear? Do you ever get... what? I mean, because I get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the... It's like everything... My one ear goes deaf, and the other ear has this... You know, going on.
Well, I'm just kind of looking at this right now, because I think that sometimes, you know, all of these can be symptoms of the things that I just talked about, right? Like your clairaudience is activated because your pineal is on, and therefore you hear stuff, do you know what I mean, and so on. So first of all, if you're hearing stuff, you're probably more audio orientated. Some people are more visual orientated. Some people have the clear knowing, right, where they just know stuff. That's a clear mind. It's kind of like a telepathy type skill. So if hearing is your thing, you will hear stuff, okay? But having said that, there's also the biology of the ear is such that there's little things in there that vibrate, right? Like the actual biology of the ear. So if you are being pulsed by something, it can create that feeling of vibration, and it could be pulsed by good stuff and you can be pulsed by bad stuff. Right? So it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing, depending on what is going on. And it can also just be your biology doing something weird for which, you know, the inside of your ear is vibrating for whatever reason. And it can be a clairaudience thing. So it can be many different things all at the same time. But a lot of people have ears ringing as a vibrational symptom, because as we're shifting and going into these different bodies, and as we're being flooded by this energy, you know, stuff inside us is vibrating, and the ear is very sensitive to that because it's got tiny wee little bones in there. Do you know what I mean? That are very sensitive to vibration, and so you may experience some of those things. Okay, does that make sense?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. So, yeah, and I've experienced this, and like I said, when I do tune in fact, it's like I've been given an incredible gift. You know, some people call it tinnitus, but I've been given an incredible gift which allows me to tune into my soul like that, because all I have to do is just listen to the incredibly loud sound in my head, and there it is.
Right, yeah. Right, I understand.
So, So it's, you know, people might call it a curse. I used to have a recording studio, and one day I set up a signal generator, and I tuned it to all the different frequencies that I could hear in my head. And, so I had all these things going, and they're all really high pitched, and it was like, ee, ee, ee. And this guy walks in, and he said, "What are you doing? You know, what is this?" I said, "This is what I hear in my head." He said, "You must be crazy."
That's interesting,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe I am. Maybe, you know, just the sound has driven me mad, Captain. Anyway,
My hunch about you is that you're very audio, like you're a very audio being, right? Like you make music, you're into sound and all of that kind of stuff, and sound is very powerful. And so my sense is you're audio orientated, that is probably a strong thing for you, right? And you're a Pisces, and Pisces and music go together quite a bit. And as a Pisces, it should be quite easy for you to go into... Pisces is very connected to the universal mind, which is another way of saying that you're very connected to some of the higher dimensional aspects, right? So I'm sure it's very easy for you to go there, right?
It's interesting, actually. More than Pisces, my birthday's right in the last 3 days of the year, of the astrological year. And, you know, in these terms, 3 days is not very much. And when Shari Edwards read my voice, she said, I've got this kind of weird kind of cosmic frequency that is coming in. And she's kind of more or less exactly what you just said. And yeah. So it's a matter of being born at that point has given me an incredible sensitivity, which also means I end up extremely vulnerable and get really grumpy.
Yep.
And you can relate to that too.
I'm a cancer.
So we're two like a soft pillow people. Yeah, delicate fabrics, you know.
Yep.
Don't throw us in the dirt, you know, we'll never get clean. Anyway, so it's this frequency of giving that cosmic download that is the crack between the octaves. It's the point where it starts and the point where it begins. And it's a very interesting time of year. And that'll be, you know, we've got 11 more shows, and that'll be number 11, I think.
It's good.
So it will be very, very good. I've really enjoyed this period so far of doing this with you, Katie. It's been
excellent.
It's very, very synergistic, and the audience is very happy on topic. You know, we're talking about the same stuff. You know. Where was you? Pisces. Oh, Hala 761. Double year. Yeah, I've also got a really strong sense of smell, I sense things. I sense I actually think it's almost like being able to feel low frequency sounds. Feel them in my skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's another sense. Anyway, I can feel it. So it's like very handy if you want to. You're looking for the rave. You know, I'm a good person to have around because I tune into the low frequencies, which then segues beautifully into Nikki's question, which is the hum.
The hum.
This low frequency sound. It's like a kind of. It's got this kind of pulse to it.
Right.
I hope that's the that's a good impression of it, Nikki. That's something that she's been hearing. Now, Nikki's got some. She listened to too many rock bands. I think it was The Cure, which blew part of her hearing out. And as humans, we try and gain as much information as possible. So. You know, if your ears are blown out, then, you know, your eyes will become more keen. For instance, I got really poor eyesight. So, my eyes are not as good as my ears, for instance. So, that's part of my gift stroke curse kind of thing. But anyway, so she hears this hum. She doesn't know what it is. And there's nowhere she can go. Nowhere she's found in the country that doesn't have it.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. If we rule out blown out ear syndrome, it could be that too. Okay.
Actually, it might be worthwhile to actually test your pulse at the same time as listening to this sound, and to see if the pulsing is anything to do with the pulsing of the blood in your own eardrums.
I think that there are. We're going to go into the dark stuff for a second. That there are frequencies that are being pulsed, right, as background noise, that again are meant to create like an energetic disturbance. I've never heard them myself. I'm not that audio orientated. I'm quite visual, and I have the clairsentient type thing, so I know stuff. It like just comes into my head, right? But I'm not super audio, so I don't hear that stuff that much. But I do know that there are frequencies that are being broadcast on this planet that are meant to, as usual, keep us kind of low and also a little irritated, because some of those kind of frequencies can kind of irritate you. Do you know what I mean? So people get more stressed out and they're like more, do you know what I mean, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah,
so
I heard there was one in the, I think somewhere under the Red Sea or the Dead Sea, that was just basically turned on for about half an hour a day just to mess people up and make them angry.
That's right. So it could be something like that, or it could be the same thing that we talked about, that the third eye chakra is activated and the pineal is activated and so on, and everybody thinks third eye equals visual, but it's not true. Third eye equals clair skills, and those skills depend on the kind of being. So if your third eye is on, you have clair skills. If you're an audio person, it will be clairaudience. And sensitivity to sound. If you are a visual person, it will be clairvoyance. Do you know what I mean? So on. And some people have the whole enchilada going on, right? But different beings seem to specialize in different things. But it's the clair skills that are associated with the third eye. Okay? So,
very good.
Either way, if you're hearing stuff and so on, it means that you're activating, right? And there can be ways, if it bothers you, you can try and shut the third eye down a little bit and so on, or to regulate it, etc. And again, the light body training that I went through kind of teaches you to do that kind of stuff too, so that you're not always just running a ton of energy all the time, right? Running a ton of energy means all your chakras are activated and pumping and so on, which sometimes is great and sometimes not so much. Okay.
Well, it's like your engine, the cylinders have to fire in a specific order in order to turn the crank at the right, in a smooth way.
That's right.
You know, it's not just a simple 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. And the chakras work together in a non-simple way.
Yeah.
It's a much more, it's actually a beautiful dimensionality to it. I've been talking a lot on the show with Will Stillings. And mm-hmm. he's always, there's always this thing about three rings, isn't there? Like the machine in contact, it was three gimbals, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yep.
And the Searle effect generator is mm-hmm. three rings.
A ring. Mm-hmm.
Which is two go one way, and the other one, and the one in the middle goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, we come back to the principle of counter rotation,
mm-hmm.
which takes us to the Merkaba, the golden Merkaba.
Right.
We were talking about this a few weeks ago, and you know how we were all feeling under attack a few weeks, it might have even been months ago, and that it felt like there was a ring of Mercury around the. Around your third eye, Merkaba. So,
that's right.
Do you want to talk a little bit United. About that?
That was a while back. I don't know what that was about. I mean, I don't know if it was personal or if it was happening to a lot of people at the same time. But I felt it, right? It was almost like a constriction. And I had to remove it from myself. It was like a liquid Mercury, couple of inches wide ring that wrapped around my forehead, right? And what it did, it gave me a headache. And I did a few shows around that time, and every time I would start the show, this thing would come on top of my head. And it was like, okay, I have to remove it, do you know what I mean? And it felt like a dark forces silencing methodology. At the time, I've also seen I do a planetary work when it's needed, not all the time, just when it's needed. And at a certain point, there was a ring, not like that, but it was a black ring that was going all the way across the planet, and that was just before the Olympics. So I was guided to go remove that, and it actually wasn't that hard to remove. And in fact, a lot of things are not very hard to remove or take out or whatever. Most of it is that people don't see it. Like, it's that we're blind is the problem. It's not what they're doing to us. It's the fact that we can't see it half of the time, right? This is why they keep everything hidden. If you can see it, then you can shift it. But if you can't, then it's you can have all sorts of not so great experiences, right? So anyway, so that was going on at some point. So energy is real, and it can be used for good, and it can be used for ill, right? And but it has very real effects. Okay.
Okay. So.
All right.
Let's just go back a second, because in the chat room, say third eye Merkaba. This is where I get lost. Okay. So. Let's just hold the thought of the third eye Merkaba, because there, you know, it was we did have quite a long conversation about that at the time. So I'd like to, because we're at the top of the hour again.
Yep.
Amazingly, this is whacking by. Anyway, the track I want to play everybody is a track by The Shadows, who was Cliff Richard's original backing band, and their rendition of a song called Atlantis.
This is Ever Beyond with JP. This is Ever Beyond with JP.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond with JP, April the 21st, 2013. It is indeed Katie Galanti. My guest is... How are you doing? Miss Dynamite.
Miss Dynamite.
Oh, she's worth a weight in nitroglycerin.
I think my third eye macabre is starting to melt.
Actually, I'm melting a bit in here. I'm in my T-shirt, right? And the stove has been cooking just perfectly. There's quite a wind outside, so it's had a good updraft, and it's boiling in here. Which is great. It's really nice in Scotland to actually be boiling, so I ain't complaining. You know, most of the time, most people in Scotland that you meet will say, oh, it's getting cold, you know. Yeah, and it's, so...
good.
So, I'm not complaining. Bless your heart.
Do you have real spring in Scotland at this time of the year?
Yeah, look, I've got a bunch of daffodils on my, my table. And, well, I've been digging my garden. Well, when I say I've been digging my garden today, I really just took a fork and spun it around. Just along the row of stuff that I'd already dug, but I didn't do any proper digging, like getting out all the roots and all the rubbish and all that stuff. That's quite hard work. But anyway.
Yep.
Meanwhile, where were we? Third Eye Merkaba.
Right.
So, here's the thing, right? Many different psychics and healers talk of different... forms that the chakras take, and like you say, it's a higher dimensional thing, and we're making an approximation to it in our minds. But what is a Merkaba? But it's a cube tipped on its side, made into a star. It's got six vertices, and so you could look at it one way and say that it represents backwards and forwards, up and down, left and right, the three dimensions. And again, we're talking about three rings, three gimbals. So that's the nature of each chakra. And the chakra in the third eye has this particular form, which is two tetrahedrons in opposition to each other and forced to exist in the same place and counter rotate at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't actually build one of these things. I have a little YouTube video actually that I made that is a film. I'm going to put it in the chat room. It's in my Studio 9 Jam channel, but it's a film of a Merkaba that I made that was trying to get to the idea of what this is. The sound is a poem that I wrote that myself and a friend read, but if you look at this, you see that certain times these star beings, this star thing, the little one inside is going clockwise and the little one and the big one outside is going anti-clockwise, and that's what we mean by counter-rotation. But if you imagine that the two tetrahedrons were the same size, and made of a golden light material, or a light golden material, maybe a bit like this, the golden alloys that you get things made from these days.
Right. Yeah. Okay. One of the, you know, when you were saying that everything is approximation, right?
Yes.
Okay. Some is also technique, right? So, for example, does the third eye really look like a Merkaba? Not really. But can you use a Merkaba to spin it and activate it? Yes. Does that make sense? It's like, you can use various kinds of techniques that often have to do with focusing, visualizing, doing all those things so that you can modify your own energy from within by visualizing various things, okay? So, for example, you could get similar results by just focusing on the on a point deep within the pineal, so on the central channel, inside of the third eye chakra, and focus on that point like as if it's a pin, and then it will explode at some point and spin. So the tetrahedron is a way of doing that. Focusing on the pinpoint is a way of doing that, etc., etc. The chakras are meant to spin. Most of the human beings on the planet, let's take out the whole galactic activation thing for a second and go prior to that. Because now everybody's chakras are spinning and doing strange stuff. But it was a time in which many had very dormant, inactive chakras. As chakras are supposed to spin, all of the chakras have some kind of structure. In all of them, you can identify almost like a point that is like the central part of the chakra. And if you are very visual, you can literally zoom in to, let's say that you focus on your heart chakra. You can zoom into that. You can become, I call it the Alice in Wonderland journey. Like, you can imagine yourself becoming very, very small and just go inside. And then the chakra will look very, very big. And then you can start looking at all the details. And you can start having a look at the seed of the chakra, what's inside of that. The seed of the chakra always looks like a normal tetrahedron. You know, like, up and down. It's like a crystal. And you can go into that, and then you'll find that if you actually go really deep into the center of a chakra, you start traveling, that you'll start to actually literally travel. Try it at home. Let me know. You know, it's if you can literally get to the real center of the chakra and you go through it, you shrink yourself down so that you're tiny and you go through it, you'll start traveling.
Dimensional travel here, yeah, on Wolf Spirit Radio, because that's what we said. You know, that's what we said on the strap line of the show as well. Out of the box is unfold the universe within you.
That's right. Yeah. And we all have entry points, all of this stuff. As I said, when I do planetary work, that is often what happens. I mean, nobody taught me how to do it. For some reason, I was just doing it. It just happened by itself. And if you look at the way in which I awakened, it kind of happened like that right from the beginning, because the minute in which I awakened, I was out into space, right? And that still happens to me. I can go out and I can look at the planet from the outside. Literally, I'm hovering outside the planet. I can look at it. I can look at the energy and so on. I've done the same with the sun and wherever it is that I need to go. But this is not because, this is not something that cannot be done. It's, again, if we have had a lot of lives in which we've used a lot of skills already, it's almost like we come into the body with a whole bunch of stuff that we already know how to do. Okay. But that doesn't mean that somebody can't learn how to do these things. And some people are gifted and some people are not. It just means that some people have already done it and some people haven't. Do you know what I mean?
Or in various stages of unfolding.
Learning. That's right. And so some skills, we have them because we already learned them at another time.
That's what past lives are for, folks. To learn all this stuff without having to learn it all here.
That's right. Well, and it's true that some lives are preparation. Like some lives, if we do the timeline thing, right, if we do it on a timeline, because as we said, we can look at past lives as simultaneous as well, but if we look at the timeline thing, some lives serve other lifetimes in the sense that you may have a job to do on a particular timeline in a particular, this is very true for quote unquote old souls on a mission, right? Not everybody is an old soul on a mission. Not everybody has that kind of service mission, right? But for people that do, and let's say you want to be here in 2013 doing a certain kind of mission, right? You may incarnate 3 or 4 times prior, gathering a whole bunch of skills that you may need now. It sounds weird, but people do it.
Well,
okay.
You know, I think... I'm having a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure flashback when you're talking about that.
Right,
Which was a brilliant expose on, like, how time travel can really mess you up. And if you keep track, everything works out. But what they were doing is, you know, we better go back and fix that and get that sorted. And then they would turn the corner and it's been fixed, you know. That's very,
yes,
very
absolutely. And if you read... Barbara Marciniak, her first book, Bringers of the Dawn.
Oh, yes. You can get that on ebook on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, you can. It's a book that obviously Spirit wants everybody to read because it's out there everywhere. She was not particularly happy that her copyright got busted all over the place, but... but obviously she hasn't done anything about it. So you can find actually that book pretty much. Like just Google it and you'll find it. You'll be able to read it. Bringers of Dawn. That is a book that was written at the very beginning of the 90s. Supposedly, Barbara Marciniak is channeling the Pleiadians and she's channeling a future version of the Pleiadians from the end of this millennium, right? If you actually read and pay attention to what she says, she's not channeling Pleiadians from now. She's channeling Pleiadians from 800, 900 years from now on some other timeline, okay? In another time, on this timeline. And she says that a lot of people have come back to this time or have done like a... You can incarnate anywhere in time, right? Like it doesn't have to be... sequential if you're doing the time, if you're looking at things from a time perspective. So there's a lot of people incarnated here that have already had lives in the future, and what they're actually trying to do is to prevent a whole bunch of stuff from happening. And do you know what it is that the Pleiadians, Barbara Marciniak, says that we're trying to prevent? Because it's not as straightforward. Do you remember it?
No, I can't remember. What was it?
She said that in their time, wherever they are, there's a tyranny going on in the galaxy that has to do with artificial intelligence, okay? Like, almost like sentient machines, the transhumanism. It's the transhumanism thing. Basically, the... it's the tyranny of the machines... but conscious machines or human beings interfaced with machine that has spread like a virus, and that they try to pinpoint where that started, and it started here on planet Earth during what they call the nanosecond that is the time between 19, it's like a 40-50 year period from 1985 until 2025 or something. Okay. Like there's a window in there. And so that if, you know, that is a book that every time you read it, you see something different. Because when I very first read it, I knew not enough to understand what was being said between the lines. If you reread it and you read it now, there's a lot of stuff that pops at you. And one of the things that really popped for me rereading it was this thing about the tyranny of the machines, because now we have the whole transhumanist thing that is kicking in, and apparently that is what becomes dangerous, because the transhuman phenomena is powered by the dark elite, right? And that apparently, according to this channeled information, ends up spreading to other places, but starts here. So there you go.
So that's the matrix kind of laid out for the, you know, that's how the matrix happens. This is also the story that Alex Collier has been saying.
Is it?
Yeah, that 400 years in the future, tyranny is established, and they traced it back to this time and place.
Yep.
So...
Now, a piece of good news and good spin on that.
Please give us a good. Please give us a happy ending, Katie.
Okay. That Barbara Marciniak. The last time I saw her, which was in Sedona in like 2003, because she was doing a talk, and she's very much into the whole dark side of things, by the way. Like, she was actually talking about all of those things before a lot of people were, still from her channeled information. She gets the whole picture, right? And she was saying that the beings that were interacting with her were telling her that things had already shifted quite a bit in the future, and they were happy, okay? But as we know, this is one of the tricky things about this process. We shift, and so do they. All right? So it's, I don't know at what point we're going to be able to say, hey, it's all shifted, let's go and drink piña coladas and Acapulco, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what time, at what point we get to consider this operation successful, because one of the things that I've observed is that we do something that shifts reality, and then they do something dark that shifts things back to where they want it. So then we do something else that shifts things, and we get our own reality locked in, and then they do something that gets their reality locked in. And so we've got this, it really is kind of like a war between two different consciousnesses that are trying to build the next chapter, but each one wants a very different story to be played out, and they are offsetting each other, okay? And so let's call it the high consciousness track is trying to do, high consciousness group is trying to do something, and the dark consciousness group is trying to do something, but it's not static. It's like if we shift, they shift, and so we have to keep on, that is one of the reasons which you have to keep on staying vigilant and on the ball as far as this process is concerned, because if you look at the future timeline, I don't see it as clearly as some people do, but I do see pieces of it sometimes. I often see things that I'm supposed to see, and it's not on demand. It's like if I'm supposed to see something, I'll see it, if otherwise I don't. And I think it helps to keep the ego out of it to do it that way. Maybe that's why I chose to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't will it. Do you know what I mean? I can't make it happen. It just.
That's right. You're subject to it. Hey, thank you for doing it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yes.
That's right. And so, but the deal seems to be this timeline is the future timeline is constantly shifting. So it may have looked magnificent 6 months ago, but then it looks all messy a little bit further. So dark side, not to be underestimated. They do, we make progress, but we also get setbacks, and so we need to be on the ball until the game is over, and I'm not sure when we're going to get the signal that the game is over, right?
Well, I mean, let's just talk about what the game is. So the game is that there's an artificial intelligence that is that at some point from this moment creates a totalitarian universe. This is the Project Camelot crew call timeline number two.
Yeah.
Which, according to this guy, Dan Burish, who lots of people don't like, but, you know, whatever, that there's a catastrophic timeline where people, the breakaway civilization, using too much time travel, big galactic wave, solar flare, mm-hmm. boom, the whole planet blows up, 4 billion people die, and everybody gets deformed. And they progress into the future where eventually the human race dies out, just about, and eventually they come back, and they come back on a mission to try and tell people not to do this, whatever they're doing, and they are the ones who crashed in Roswell,
mm-hmm.
and come back to tell everybody not to play around with the teleporters anymore. From this and the chronovisors, these yellow book three-ring devices, right?
Yep.
Which exploit local wormholes.
Yep.
And the story goes that as the sun does this thing, all these wormholes kind of explode. They all... the sun explodes in wormholes, basically. You know, it sprays everywhere with wormholes. And this may be the impetus to us being able to step into new realities. You know, we may just step into a wormhole and become that different person who we always wanted to be instantly, rather than having to go through years and years of work. That right. sounds nice. Anyway, it's like it may be that we're all going to go through it, and but I think people who haven't done the work will have a much weirder time of it, and it might be quite disturbing to go through it without knowing what's going on. But anyway, maybe that we'll all have amnesia and nobody will know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Carry on.
So, that's timeline two. Now, as there were certain signs on timeline two that have been positively, not happened, basically. So, it's like, certainly timeline two is not... on the agenda. Now, then we have Bill Brockbrader, and what his testimony is that he was looking at the data that they got out of the Yellow Book, which is the three-ring gimbal thing that looked like the machine in Contact, that allows you to look into the future, the chronovisor, and they were looking to the future, and they kept on seeing Timeline 1 and Timeline 2 flipping together. They were flipping one and onto the other, and almost until it's like millions of times a second. That there's a kind of equal probability, and there's some kind of blurring of the two. Now, what Bill was saying was that they were trying to get everybody onto timeline two, which is the tyrannical timeline, as we mentioned. But timeline two involves this is my favorite bit. Timeline two involves removing everybody's, taking everybody's free will away. And in order for that to happen, in order for that universe to manifest, people can't exercise their free will. But when they were trying to bring people onto that timeline, they were exercising their free will.
Right.
And so inherent in the whole reality construct was the idea of free will, which made it completely unlikely ever to happen.
Right, yep.
So that's... And once we realize this, and I think this is part of the key and why Bill had to do his stuff and say what he had to say at this particular time, is to put that drop of thought into our minds, is that every time we do something that is our free will, then we are creating the best outcome timeline ever.
Yes.
That's the good news.
Okay, as long as we use free will correctly. Okay.
Okay, go on.
You can use your will badly. And in fact, a lot of the spiritual lesson that it is about being on the planet Earth, that is a place where we have free will, because apparently there's places where there isn't free will. I don't quite understand how that would work, but apparently there are places where there's no free will. It's about how you're going to use that free will. Are you going to align it? Free will means freedom to choose action and direction. That's what it means, right? Free will.
Right.
Through my will, I decide what to do, how to go, how I'm going to direct things, and so on. Okay? So if you use your free will in alignment with what I call divine will or source will or universal consciousness, good stuff, right? Then your free will achieve certain kinds of results. And if you don't, then it doesn't. And the definition, in a way, of the dark side is free will that is aligned towards self-service and self-aggrandizement and personal power. Well, instead, light means free will that is aligned to the good of all, harmony and flow and love and power used in service to the bigger picture rather than self. Okay? So free will is important. In fact, it's key. It's a key component, the free will. But free will has to be used appropriately to get results. Now, the dark side uses their free will. They use it, in fact, they use the will a lot, right? But they use it at the detriment of others. They often try to manipulate other people's will and trick them into using will at the service of their own agendas, okay? Is this making sense?
Yeah, because this is the idea. We need to deprogram ourselves from programmed will into true free will, which is often, you know, it runs counter to socially accepted norms, I was just about to say. But yeah, it often does, you know. Like what I want to do just doesn't fit in with how everybody else wants to be, but this is the way I am. You know, I can't help that. So, yeah, it's great.
Okay. Now, just to be clear on this piece, because I think it's important, Luciferian consciousness, right, which is what we are in some ways up against, is completely based on use of will, right? It's that I will do what I want. But the thing that's different, the thing that makes Luciferian consciousness is I will do, I will say, I will whatever. The center of the Luciferian consciousness is the I, is the ego, it's me, it's all directed towards me, my own benefit, my own, you know, it's me, me, me. The center of the, let's call it divine consciousness, just, it's tricky to use words because the words have been hijacked by so many darks that it's hard to use.
Just soul consciousness? I am presence, I don't know.
Source consciousness, maybe, right? Because if you... soul is not right, because soul is actually an offshoot. Like, it's the baby consciousness of the big consciousness. Okay. But if you go to source consciousness is all based on love. It's based on we. It's not directed into the self, it's directed from the self out. Okay? So it's about expansion, it's about creation, it's about creating stuff that everybody benefits from, it's about art, it's about life, right? Well, instead, the Luciferian consciousness is about I, it's the me, 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 let me suck in from the outside everything that I need so that I can be full and puffed up with what I steal from the universe. right? It's a suction consciousness. It's sucking in. So Luciferian consciousness sucks in to fill the I, while instead the source consciousness breathes out to fill the world, right? It's very expansive. It's creative. Luciferian consciousness is a vacuum cleaner that sucks everything in that it wants and needs. Okay? So one thing that we have to be careful of is that a lot of New Age thinking has actually been tainted by Luciferian consciousness, and so we now have teachings out there that make it all about the self. And if you are following spiritual teachings that make it all about the self, you are not involved or listening to a pure spiritual teaching. Or at least not a source-based spiritual teaching, right? So this is a tricky point because there's a lot of stuff out there that sounds really good, and actually it's Luciferian, okay? So make sure that all of the teachings that, it's true that in some ways we can only work on ourselves. That is true. You can't go around trying to fix other people and so on. But at the same time, the focus of your consciousness should not be just about puffing yourself up. It should be about what is given out, okay? And so teachings, for example, like The Secret, are all about how can I get stuff from the world to make my, to furnish my house and have nice things, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, cosmic eBay.
That's right. Cosmic eBay, that's right. Very good. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not that we're not supposed to have nice things or all of that, but the focus of your consciousness should not be all about directing things inward towards the self, okay? It's supposed to be a creation and service and giving. But giving can be joyful. It's not a self-sacrifice type giving. It's I'm so expanded and full that I'm bursting out.
Can I just add a little anecdotal evidence of what we've been talking about? A while ago, a couple of years ago, you set up a goals and manifestations wishing page on the on Facebook.
That's right. I did.
It's still there, and it's still running, and. I just want to first of all say thank you for the opportunity to do that, because what I did there on February the 28th of 2012 is I posted in there. I said I need a house that I can further my work with. It needs to have plenty of space, a nice garden. I also want to ask for a car as well. That's another story, because there's karma involved with that. There's always karma in cars and karma. That's why they're called cars. Anyway, the karma chemics. Anyway, meanwhile, on November the 29th, I set foot in this house as a guest of the previous tenant, and now I'm here. So, and by February the 28th this year, I had more or less completely moved in. Mm-hmm. So, not bad without a car, number one. Number two, it's a reasonable rent. And so I believe that it is directly a result of that manifestation group. Now, here's the thing. In my soul contract, I presume that I have some kind of responsibility to the portal which exists around here. And so it is in my soul contract anyway to be here, and therefore asking for it was simply turning my face towards my own future.
That is possible.
That's the way I see manifestation. Is that actually you decide that you want what you've already got already in your future?
Or you have an intuition in your own soul knowing that that is what is the next step, right? It's like you know you're, this is where you're heading, and so you put it out there. There is a science to manifestation. Like, there is a science to manifestation. But the soul is in it. And especially if you are... Now, this gets tricky. I actually wrote 240 pages on this topic. I have two chapters to go. I've almost finished it. this is one book.
Okay, yeah, I want a three-minute nutshell, Katie, right now.
Nutshell is... the nutshell is about manifestation is you do create with energy, just as they say in the books, but you create with all levels of your consciousness, not just with your earth plane mind. Okay?
Yeah.
And therefore, you create from the soul level, you create from the physical plane level, you create from your emotional body, you create from your soul and karmic bodies, etc., etc. So when your earth plane personality puts out a, I want a sofa with three legs and, you know, three black and one gold, do you know what I mean? I'm being silly. But let's say you want that and I want it to be, you know, that and the other. If that is the visualization that you put out, and if that is what you want, and there's no blockages from your other levels of being or contracts from the soul level that say otherwise, you may most likely manifest that. However, if there's other stuff going on, such as blockages, so for example, you have some self-esteem issues or whatever that get in the way of that, or you have a soul contract that for whatever reason doesn't want you to have that kind of sofa. Sofa is a silly example, but let's say it's a job. A big, better example for a soul block to something. Let's say your soul mission and agreement in this lifetime is that you are going to... I actually have an example from my old life of this. This is why I became a healer. I was a teacher, and I wanted to get a job as a teacher. But no matter where I went, in how many interviews I got to, I couldn't get employed. And at a certain point, I got really frustrated. And I said, okay, fine and fair enough. Obviously, this door is not happening, despite the fact that I have 8 years of teaching and excellent from the Queen and all that stuff, right, which I did in the Ofsted inspection and stuff. You know, couldn't get a job as a teacher. After a year of searching, I give up. And so I thought, okay, what else do I know how to do? I can teach math as a private tutor. Tried to do that, didn't happen. Then after that, I knew how to do some astrology. I didn't feel that I really wanted to, but I thought, okay, fine. I'll put out some flyers about my astrology. And I also put out one flyer, about this spiritual healing technology that I had just learned about clearing energy fields and karma. And I had 3 days of training in this. And was literally just doing it casually for friends and so on. But I thought, oh, what the hell, I'll just put one flyer of this out. I got nothing for the astrology. The one flyer, I got 6 clients. Okay? So,
what color was the flyer?
It's exactly the same color as the astrology flyer.
All right, interesting. Go on.
It was purple. So it wasn't that. It was just that. And that is how I started doing healing. I never would have started doing healing if I hadn't done that. And so whose idea was it to do the healing? Was it my idea? Absolutely not. But was it my soul's idea? Absolutely yes. So the other manifestations were blocked because I had another contract. Okay. I was doing manifesting work at the time. I was visualizing myself in the school, teaching kids and all the rest of it. There are some things where your soul trumps your personality, and that's one of them. Okay?
Yeah.
And so manifesting, if you will notice that if you manifest trivial things, very often you will manage. if you're manifesting small potato stuff, very often you'll get it. Because it's like, your blockages are not coming online and your soul doesn't really care if you get a red surfer or a purple surfer. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, so. Don't be greedy. And sometimes, you know, you're looking for a sofa and you get a sofa bed. That sofa bed enables you to put people up. That one person in this long line of people that you made may be your soulmate.
That's right. And so there's bigger tracks, and that then goes into the spiritual aspect of manifesting, right? That has to do with surrendering personality-based free will to divine will or source will, higher consciousness will. Okay? What does that mean? It means that one of your moves towards becoming a more conscious and more enlightened being is that you decide that the best use for your free will is to surrender it to your soul. Okay? That's actually a graduation point. When somebody gets it, that the best use of their will is actually to surrender it to the higher aspects of self, then the life really starts flowing. And sometimes people will find that as they become more conscious and so on, they will be put through a whole bunch of really difficult situations, or they will encounter a whole bunch of difficult situations that will test them on their surrender. And once they actually surrender, everything starts to flow back again.
Tell us about your experience, then we'll have another little discussion on surrender.
Okay. Well, in surrender, it's not just blanket surrender anything. It's surrender to the high aspect. It's like a surrender to the bigger picture, to the divine plan. Again, I don't like the word divine, but I don't know another one, right? It's like the higher consciousness that informs the universe, the highest consciousness that is aligned with love and with creation. That's what I would call it, okay? So when you get to the point where you understand that surrendering to that is actually the best use of your will, you jump up another level, okay? And as I say, my experience was, I've had several versions of that experience, but just in recent times, 2009, 2010 were really, really hard years for me, especially on the financial front. Is a lot of stripping, right? Strip, strip, strip. And I got to the point where literally I would wake in the morning and it was like, okay, I have 8 quarters in the jar, so $2. How am I going to eat today, right? And then I had some days in which there was no quarters in the jar, right? And however, at the very last minute, every single time, something would happen. I had a neighbor that dropped a whole bunch of groceries onto my doorstep. Did not even... literally, I got home from my walk and there was 8 bags of groceries on my doorstep. He did not even hang around for me to thank him, right? And I ate for 10 days on that food, right? Now, I went through... had I always been... In my mind at the time, like the personality level of my time at the time was, why am I suddenly so bad at manifesting? I used to be really good at creating stuff. How come now it's all gone crazy and I can't do this anymore? And then I realized that actually what was being tested was my degree of faith, trust, and surrender. And so I started to literally go with the program and to go, okay, fine. I don't know where things are going for, but I'm not even going to worry about it. Somehow it will show up in some way, in some form. And it always did. And at a certain point, I must have passed that class because then it switched and it all went back to a different kind of flow, okay? But that was almost like a hurdle that I had to jump through, right? And I had jumped through other hurdles that had tested surrender in other areas, but that was just one particular jump thing. So what's your thing, JP? And I can't believe it, but we've almost done 4 hours. I can't believe I'm still talking here.
Right. Yeah, it's brilliant. I said you've powered on tonight. You know.
I'm plugged in. I got another 10 minutes, and I have to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's it. You know, in 10 minutes' time, we're going to be handing over to Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Healing Group, and I think we've got a fantastic group of people in the chat room listening, and people will be listening to the archives. And so that energy doesn't go nowhere. What happens is that Frank pulls in more energies from different healing groups and meditation groups that are meditating as we speak, and brings them all together into the Earth Mind and sends healing to specific places, and they send healings into the Earth grid, as well as the tectonic plates and everything like that.
Yep. That's good.
So that's what's going to follow. So, you know, everybody's really primed and well, I mean, what an amazing time. My experience from last week was like, I'm trying to think. It's, you know, that bit of the Matrix when Neo has been shot and. Trinity kind of says I love you, and then he gets back into his body and she says get up and, you know, and start fighting him, and then Neo dives, he runs and dives right into the heart of the agent.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then you see this light bursting out of cracks that happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm feeling like.
When?
This experience is like that light burning from within,
yeah.
Shining inside me,
mm-hmm.
And bursting out of all the different cracks.
Yep.
And
strange.
It's I think this is what we've been talking about for years. This galactic download, you know, it's a little piece of God. It's another little piece of God. You know, it's like we get charged up by God all these billions of years, you know, every 26 million years or something like that, or however long the cycle is, 26,000 years maybe.
Yeah.
And we connect in with it, and it's all God consciousness. So if you've got a little bit of space, then the God consciousness can take lodge there.
Absolutely, I agree. And, that brings me into one more thing, right?
Go ahead.
That is that the universe itself is conscious. Like, the reason for which this is taking the form, like, of a galactic solar pulse is because the universe itself is conscious. So it's almost as if... the God consciousness is actually inside of everything, and it's talking through the consciousness of the galaxy and the stars that are in it, including our sun, right? Because all of the galaxy and the sun are connected, and the sun and the earth are connected, but the galaxy is connected to the center of the universe. The center of the universe is connected to the center of creator or creation. Right, which at some point creator and creation become the exact same thing. Do you know what I mean?
Ta-da! And
because creator creates within itself, like it cannot create outside of itself, it just can't. So creator can creation is contained within creator. Ta-da!
Ta-da! And we disappear up our own. Andromedan star systems.
Well, it does. Well, in the sense that we are immersed in, like, everything is God consciousness. If you tune into that level of consciousness, then everything is a God consciousness. But then things become complicated because you're witnessing the experience and being the experience at the same time.
which is the point of the whole thing in the first place.
That's right.
That's what he built it for. He, she, it, they. We.
He, they, we, us. Okay, my brain is starting to fry.
Katie Galanti, I just sit there and let me bathe you in some love. You know, we've been you know, motoring on now for 4 hours, and there's still probably plenty of juice left in us, but I think we better save it for another day. People are very, very grateful in the chat room. Thank you, and Katie, much wisdom was passed along here.
Okay, excellent. Glad people enjoyed the time, and thank you for all the good questions. They're excellent questions.
Yes, wonderful, JP and Katie.
Yeah, and also for holding the space, because we create the space together.
That's right. Well, what we're going to be doing is in the next show, we'll be taking a bit more of that space and concentrating it back down into healing. You know, by working with the standing waves of the holographic universe that we are a part
Very
of.
Good. Can I make a suggestion for your next piece?
Yeah.
Like, because you're going to be in the next piece also, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you focus on all of that, also, us for clearing of all of the energies that are being downloaded by the other side at the moment, because that's what they're doing.
Can you say that again? You got interrupted.
Okay. The ask also for a clearing of the energies that are being, like the disruptor energies that are being created right now, right?
Right.
The Boston event has created quite a lot of disruptive energy, and the ritual that they're doing also. Bring in light, but also clear out the junk. Ask them to clear out the junk, okay? Which you guys are. I can very easily do. Okay.
It's very interesting because Frank, on several occasions, this phenomenon has happened. Is that Frank channels his highest self, who's called Stephen, and when he does so, it's quite bizarre because, you know, I might be talking about, well, I don't know, cars or something, and in his show he'll bring up cars, and you know, there is a thematic link between everything. So it's we are one soul, we are teaching ourselves, we're learning ourselves, we're learning who we are.
Absolutely. And also, most likely we're all on the same team anyway, even on the, you know, in the bigger picture where everybody is on the same team, but even in the small picture we're probably all from the same pod anyway, right?
Yeah.
So we're all connected, working as a group, which is great. All right. I think I'm going to go now, right?
Yeah.
So what do? I just say, hey, bye?
I want, first of all, before you go, Katie, first of all, tell people how they can have a reading or a personal consultation with you in your many aspects and you know, just... let everybody know how to get hold of you and thank you for the gorgeousness of yourself.
Thanks. Well, if you want something like in terms of session, all of that kind of stuff, just email me, Katie, Katie Galanti, Galanti, @hotmail.com, right? And I also have various websites out there, none of which are up to date, so have fun with that. there's one that is reclaimingthelight.com, and then I have another website that's called cosmicessence.com, and then I have a blog that is cosmicperspectives.blogspot.com. Okay. If you go to the Reclaiming the Light site, you will be able to find links to all the other things. I have a YouTube channel as well, and so on. There's not much on it, but I do have a YouTube channel. I also have...
Hang on, what's the name of your YouTube channel?
Katie Cosmic Essence.
Katie Cosmic Essence.
I made it years ago when I was doing the Cosmic Essence website stuff. So Cosmic Essence is my oldest website. I've had it since 2002.
Which is the one, Katie, people want a reading, right? How do they find your contact details? Where's a place where, you know, people can find Katie Galanti? Katie Galanti, people remember that. Katie Galanti.
Either all of those websites have my contact stuff, okay? And all of those websites have details on some of my healing stuff. And I write a lot, so you will find that there's a lot of stuff on there, okay? But if you go to the reclaimingthelight.com, you will find links to all the other websites. Okay, so that's like the central hub that you can find everything else from. Okay, like you will find something to click on for my YouTube thing and for my Cosmic Essence a blog and website and et cetera, et cetera. So you'll find everything as long as you click on links. Okay, now, and just very briefly, I'm just going to say, you know, I talk a lot about the depossession type work that I do, because that is something that I do that that is important, especially when we talk about the collective picture. But in my healing work, I maybe do 20% of my healing work has to do with that. The rest is about clearing karma, past lives, activation, soul stuff, connecting you with your higher dimensional aspects, helping you to make a conscious connection with your soul consciousness, getting in touch with your mission, getting in touch with any of the high beings that you may be working with, that most people are working with without knowing. I also do childhood type work with some people. I also help with deprogramming and all of that kind of stuff. So lots of different things. And you will find them all on the various websites. Okay? So that's it. That's me.
Hurrah!
Yay! Hurrah. And one thing I was going to forget that I think is important. I'm fairly active on Facebook. And on Facebook I have my profile at the moment. There's a few places because I posted something that rattled a lot of people's cages, so I lost 20 friends. So I have 20 spaces on my Facebook profile now. That since yesterday are available, and I also have subscribers on there, so you can subscribe, and I do a lot of public posting, so if you subscribe, you will get that. And I also have a page that is called The Evolutionary, which is I want to get more proactive on. I want to get some other people to post on it. And basically, that's just like a little bulletin where you post about health and, you know, astrology. And it's like almost like a little magazine of tidbits that can be fun or useful and so on. So there you go. So that's all of the places you can find me. And you're sick of me. Even I am sick of me sometimes.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, you know, sometimes it's medicine, sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's too much, like 4 hours.
No, I think we've had a gorgeous feast of Galanti today.
Okay.
Prime cuts. it's been brilliant. So thank you very much, Katie Galanti. ReclaimingTheLight.com. Nikki says, I love your crystal jewellery, Katie. Buy stuff. Finance this lady's life. She's really busy and works really hard and you know, is struggling to pay the rent. You know, go there and buy some beautiful things, and you get the beautiful things, and you give her a chance to further her career and further her service. So, Katie Galanti, on behalf of Ever Beyond and Wolf Spirit Radio, I'd like to thank you.
Yay! Okay, to the next time, all right? And have fun with your next show.
Bless your heart. Good night.
Great. Bye!
Beyond.